If you'd put that painting up, please.
Perfect.
I have been fascinated by this painting for, 20, 25 years. It was painted by an Italian whose name I cannot pronounce. Painted it back in the 1870s, and it's in Florence, Italy right now. If I ever get to Florence, if I ever get to Italy, I'm going to make sure I carve out the time to go see it in person. But this painting depicts the moment that Becky was just reading about. And I want to point out a couple things for you. You see right in the center, you see Pilate there shouting to the crowd that this is Jesus. And the words he uses, "Behold the man." And that's the title of this painting, Ecce Homo, which is the Latin for "Behold the man." And what has happened at this point is that Jesus has been betrayed, he's been arrested, he's been questioned, he's been flogged, he's been beaten. And finally, Pilate is showing him off to the crowd. Because Pilate knows that Jesus is innocent. He knows that Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. And yet, Pilate still feels like he's in this position where he's got to have Jesus killed. Because what has happened is the Jewish leaders have maneuvered Pilate into this position where Pilate feels like if he doesn't have Jesus killed, the Jewish leaders will call up Caesar and say, "Hey, this guy's letting rebels and insurrectionists go. He's letting somebody go who's even claiming to be the king of the Jews." And if Caesar gets that phone call, Pilate will be lucky if he just loses his job, probably lose his head. And at the same time, the mobs have been whipped up. Let me show you this. If you could see just the crowds there, how it fills the square, how it fills the rooftops up ahead. Because the city of Jerusalem is swollen 3 or 4 times its normal population because of the Passover feast. Jews have come from all over the Mediterranean to celebrate this most holy festival. And so there they are. And they're shouting, "Crucify him." Pilate knows that if he lets Jesus go, he will have a riot on his hand at the least, maybe even a rebellion, but there will be blood flowing in the streets if Jesus doesn't crucify him. Excuse me, if Pilate doesn't crucify Jesus. And I want to point out one other detail of this. You see these two women over here on the choir side. The one facing towards us, looking absolutely stricken, is Pilate's wife. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that Pilate's wife has known and has been warned to have nothing to do with Jesus, knows he's an innocent man, and yet here she is watching all this play out, looking just horrified. I think it's all those details that I have just been enamored with this painting. But what I want to do is I actually want to back up 5 minutes from where this was and talk about what happened and what led to this. If you go to that next slide, please. When Pilate is trying to get Jesus out of this, he goes to the crowd. And he says, "Okay, we have this tradition at Passover. Every year I release one prisoner. Who do you want me to release? Barabbas, who's a robber, who's a rebel? Or do you want me to release Jesus, who's done nothing wrong?" And the crowd shouts, "We want Barabbas released. Give us Barabbas. Let Jesus die." And my friends, what we have here is Jesus dying when he's innocent for somebody who's guilty. And that's fundamentally the story of the crucifixion. Let's take a look at this guy named Barabbas. Sometimes he's referred to as a rebel, sometimes as a robber, but regardless, he deserves to die. But let's pause for a moment and look at his name. Break that down to 2 parts, Bar and Abba. Anybody know what Abba means? And don't say the Swedish rock group from the 70s. I'll throw you out for that one. Father, yeah. It means Father in Aramaic. So when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, when he says, pray our Father, the word he uses is Abba. And bar, of course, in Hebrew means son of. So literally it would be son of the Father, but more common language, it would be child of God. So here we have a child of God who has rebelled against God, done things deserving of death, and Jesus dies for him. I could make the case that we could sum up all of the Gospels in that one verse. Jesus dies to set us free from the penalty of our rebellion, of the things that we've done wrong. One of the questions that I get on a regular basis, and it's a good question, it's an honest question, of why does there have to be a penalty for sin? Why does there have to be a penalty to let us free from this? Can't God just make everything go away? Can't God just make everything right? Well, the thing is, we get this beautiful picture in the Bible of new heaven, new earth. And it talks about how at the end of all things, God will remake this world and remake heaven into a place where there's no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. And the problem is we all know that there is sin and brokenness in this world, okay? We know there's pain. We know that occasionally we might accidentally or intentionally inflict pain on other people. Let's be honest, it happens. If you have family, if you have coworkers, if you drive in traffic, you know it happens. And the problem is you can't take that sin and brokenness and hurt and anger into heaven. There has to be a way of dealing with it. Think of it this way. Here's a better way of thinking about it, or a more relatable way of thinking about it. Way back when, I had a job where there was four of us working in downtown Minneapolis. And out of the four of us, I was the only one who did not smoke. And every day, a couple times a day, my three coworkers would say, hey, Mike, we're going out for a smoke break. Do you want to go with? And I'd be like, it's a beautiful summer day in Minnesota. I could stay inside with this horrible fluorescent lighting, or I could go enjoy the beautiful weather. I'll go out and smoke with you guys. Even though I didn't smoke, I'll just go hang out. So I go outside and enjoy the beautiful weather, filtered through a haze of cigarette smoke, and I would go back in after we were done. But I got to go out. My coworkers had a choice. They could smoke or they could be in the office. They couldn't do both. And in beautiful summer in Minnesota, that was easy. You go outside and smoke. I only worked there for the summer. I don't know how they handled things in February. I suspect their smoke breaks were much shorter. But the point is they could not bring the cigarettes, or at least not smoke them, inside. And that was just part of the deal. Had to leave the smoking outside. And that's the same thing for us. We have to leave that outside. We have to leave the sin and the brokenness here. And this is how Jesus deals with it. This is how Jesus handles this. By him dying on the cross, he takes the punishment and takes the pain that is due for us. Think about it. Barabbas deserved to die. They had him dead to rights. They were going to nail him to a cross. And he got away because somebody died for him. Friends, that is all of us. We all deserve to die. We all deserve the punishment for sin because we are sinful and broken. Now, I want to think about something here for a minute. Barabbas disappears from the historical record. We have no idea what happened after these events. We have no idea if he said, I dodged a bullet and I'm golden and I can do whatever I want, or if he's like, I better get my act together and stop doing this because next time I might not get so lucky. I want you to think about this for a minute. And let's take the stakes down from life or death, just to make it a little easier to wrap our heads around. How many of you have ever known anybody who got fired for good reason? Yeah, pretty much everybody. Yeah. No. I'm not asking if you've ever got fired for good reason. We can have that discussion over a cup of coffee later. We can swap some stories. But I suspect we all have known people who've gotten fired for good reason. Maybe they were slacking off. Maybe they were rude to customers. Maybe they just couldn't hack it. Okay, we've all known that. Way back when I worked at Wells Fargo, I remember I had a boss. She was great. But whenever somebody left Wells Fargo, whether it was you were going and you told everybody that I'm taking a new job and I'm going to do these things and whatever, or loss prevention showed up and you got fired so fast, everybody's like, where'd they go? Her response was always the same. That person is no longer employed by Wells Fargo. Kind of amusing that way. But we've all known a few of those people who are no longer employed. And here's the interesting thing I was thinking about this week. I have known somebody, I have known a number of somebodies, but I was thinking of one in particular, who this person got fired because they were slacking off. And they just were not taking the job seriously. And they got fired for it. And you know what? It was the best possible thing for them. They went out and got a new job, got their act together, took that job seriously. And it's kind of like, wow, they're actually got their act together. And I've also seen it where somebody got fired because they just couldn't hack it. And do you know who they blamed? Everybody except for themselves. And I tell you that because that is a smaller version of the face of the challenge we are faced with. We are faced with this question of how do we respond? You want to go back to the painting for me? I want to go back to the words that Pilate said, "Behold the man." This is how Jesus met the crucifixion. And our question is, how do we respond? We, like Barabbas, have a choice. We can say we're fine and continue doing those things that will lead us to destruction. Or we can say that because of what Jesus has done, we can live a new life. And I want to encourage you in this time of Lent, of this time of reflection, to pray and say, okay, God, what is it that I need to change? What is it that I need to let go of? What is the sin that I am hanging on to? What are those cigarettes I'm still smoking in February that I know I should not be doing? The stuff that's killing me. Is it anger? Is it hurt? Is it jealousy? But I want to encourage you to pray and to let it go so you can embrace the new life that God has given you. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can live the way that God wants you to be free in Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for our new life that you've given us through what you did on the cross. And we pray that you would give us clear eyes to see how we relate to this. Give us clarity to understand how we need you. And that we pray that you would give us wisdom to choose your life. Amen.